Dear Saints, I would like to give you a little concluding word to this message and to this whole conference. Dear Saints, we have come to this ultimate praise, and I would like to highlight one of the points that is actually closer to the end of this message. This is point A. In the last page, it's the last subpoint A. It's under B3A. And I would say that this point really summarizes the whole matter of praise. It says the real praise to the Father comes out of our experience and enjoyment of Christ in our daily life. Amen. This is very pleasing. This is a very pleasing praise to the Father, gladdening and rejoicing his heart. Amen. Dear Saints, when we were listening to the previous message last night, I saw that many of you were very excited. Oh, we need to praise the Lord. I would like to praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. If this is just like in the realm of encouragement, this will end very soon. Once this conference is over, you go back. What were we talking about? Praise? Why do I praise the Lord? Why do I have to live this way? So we have to realize one thing that is very important. Our praising the Lord rests on our daily living. Amen. If you do not have a daily living that supports the experience of Christ and the enjoyment of Christ, there will be no praising in your life. Why do we praise the Lord? Because the Lord is real to us. Why do we praise the Lord? Because we experience Him and enjoy Him. Dear Saints, many times, Brother Ron, almost in every message, he refers to the Lord's table. He says the Lord's table is actually a manifestation, an expression of your daily living. It's like the children of Israel in the Old Testament. They had to come to Jerusalem 3 times a year. And there was a law, there was a commandment. They could not come empty-handed. If you come empty-handed, that means you have not been laboring, you have not achieved anything, and you have no result, you have no crop, you have nothing to bring to Jehovah. And actually, all the children of Israel, if they were going to Jerusalem, they had to bring something, the top enjoyment, the top portion of their enjoyment. It's very interesting. In the Old Testament, when they were bringing 10%, the tithe, they had to bring the best portion. That means like if you have 10, you've had 10 lambs, and the one that is really ugly and the one that is really lame and blind, you think, I cannot sell it. I cannot make use of it. How about I bring it to Jehovah? Does it really matter what kind of animal I burn? It's all going to be burned anyway, So some of them thought that way. But Jehovah was very much displeased with this. He said, you have to offer your best. Naturally speaking, it doesn't make any sense. It's all going to get burned. Why does it matter that I have to bring the top portion to Him? Let me tell you, Saints, the Lord is after our best. Yeah, amen. He wants to get the best that we have. And that's why if you come to the Lord's table and you try to remember, what did I have this week? That is like offering something that is lame or blind or something weak. We really have to focus on our experience, our enjoyment. We have to gain the best produce of our enjoyment. And then we bring it to the Lord's table. We do not bring things that are worthless. We do not bring things that are weak or lame. We bring our best enjoyment. Many times, I've seen this in many churches. If the church has been going through some material together, if the church has been enjoying some training or conference, the Lord's table after that is always very rich because the saints have been enjoying something. But when there is no conference, when there is no training, usually the Lord's table is not very strong. You know why? Because we do not have a solid enjoyment. We do not have a solid praise to bring to the Lord. That is a real window into our daily living. If I tell you, you have to praise the Lord, I mean, you can always stand up and say, oh, praise the Lord. But, praise the Lord for what? What have you enjoyed? What have you experienced? I mean, many times when the saints, you know, I was in the church one time. I was for a number of years in one church. I'm not going to tell you where it was. We had a sister. She always praised the Lord with the same words every time. Every Lord's table, she praised the Lord, and I could recite her praise week after week, the same words. And, I mean, it's better than nothing, but it really shows you she was lacking some fresh experiences. She was lacking some fresh enjoyment. And therefore, every time she would come to the Lord's table, she would have nothing to offer to the Lord. She would just bring something that is old, something that is not so precious to the Lord. That's why, saints, let's read this point A again. Let's read it all together. I really enjoy this. This is, to me, this is the base, the foundation of this whole message. Okay, let's read it all together. The real praise to the Father comes out of our experience and enjoyment of Christ in our daily life. This is a very pleasing praise to the Father, gladdening and rejoicing his heart. Dear saints, if you have a solid enjoyment of the Lord, if you have a solid experience of the Lord, then you would come to the Lord's table and you would be full of praise. And this is not something shallow. This is not something outward. This is something really solid. Because this is resting upon a solid foundation. This foundation being your experience and enjoyment of the Lord. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of this outline. Point one says, in the church life and in our personal life, we need to offer consummate praise to God. Dear saints, our praises really should have a certain substance to them. Our praises have to mature. Our praises have to grow. Our praises have to be more and more weighty. You know, when a child is praising the Lord, his praise is very shallow. Like he gets a new toy, he would say, oh, praise the Lord. Then as you grow, you do not praise the Lord for what you are getting. You praise the Lord for what you already have. And you praise the Lord for what he is. This, saints, is a more mature praise. This is a praise that is not related to an outward situation. This is a praise that is related to what the Lord is to you. You know, in chapter 11 of Matthew, this is one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament. If I ask you, what is chapter 11 of Matthew about? Paul, what is Matthew 11 is about? You would say, let me think. I forgot. I know, but I forgot. Yeah, okay. Yeah, but, okay. That's a chapter that tells you about triple suffering of the Lord. You know, the Lord has been suffering like in a threefold way. First of all, it says that, you know, John the Baptist, who was supposed to introduce him, began to doubt him. He said, are you the one coming, or we should expect another one? So John the Baptist really was not happy about the Lord Jesus. Then it says that all the people, they were talking about him as a gluttonous man and as a drunkard. Can you imagine? The Lord Jesus came and they said, oh, he's just a drunkard. I mean, he's spending time with all these lowly people. He's just terrible. And then the third thing, the third level of suffering, is that he went to the three places and he preached the gospel to Capernaum, you know, all these places, and they all rejected him. They all rejected him. I mean, how would you feel? How would you feel if, you know, someone who introduced you would say, he would say, oh, I'm not worthy to untie your sandals. Oh, I need to be baptized. And then he would say, are you sure you're Christ? Are you sure you are the one coming? Or we should expect another one. And then you go to people and they say, oh, you're a drunkard. We don't want to talk to you. And then you go and preach the gospel, everyone rejects you. I mean, isn't that a great chapter? You think, you know, what a chapter. And then the Lord says, at that very moment, the Lord says, I extol you, the Father of the heaven and the earth, for you have hidden all these things from wise and prudent, but you have revealed these things to the babes. You know, the Lord was able to praise the Father in this kind of situation. Many times when we go to preach the gospel, people reject us. We get offended. We get provoked. Would you praise the Lord in this kind of situation? I mean, if you go, you know, one time a brother told me that he went out to preach the gospel. And, you know, he was walking in the street with some other saints and they were proclaiming the name of the Lord Jesus. And he said, and he saw a man drinking like a cup of Coke. And he ran to that man and he said, I would like to tell you about Jesus. And that man just spilled that Coke into his face. He says, get out of me. Would you praise the Lord in this kind of situation? But the Lord was able to praise the Lord and extol the Father. Why? Because his praise was not based on an outward situation. His praise was based on what the Lord is, on what the Father is. That's why it says here, we have to offer consummate praise to God. The word consummate means that our praise has to mature. Our praise has to grow. It has to become solid and substantial. When we praise the Lord, we do not praise like babies. Like, oh, you gave me a new something. You know, you gave me a new car. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I mean, this is very babyish. This is very childish. We praise the Lord because he is worthy of our praise. Point A says, in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Saints, every time we praise the Lord is actually joining us in our praise. Never forget this. The Lord is always with us. His name is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Every time we come together in his name, he says, I am in your midst. And every time we praise, he's praising together with us. And that's why at the end of every Lord's table, we not just praise the Lord Jesus, but we praise the Father. Because the Lord, after he enjoys our praise, he wants to praise the Father together with us. And I would like to go to point B. It says, through him, then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise continually to God. That is the fruit of lips confessing his name. You know, our brother had a burden to share that each time we praise, it is actually a sacrifice. When we go through different situations, when we encounter sufferings and persecutions, we have to learn how to praise the Lord in this kind of situation. You know, Brother Ron many times refers to Watchman Nee. You know, Watchman Nee, when he was in prison for 20 years, he always maintained his joy. Always. There is a brother, if you know, there is a brother. He is still living. He lives in Anaheim. He meets with the church in Anaheim. He was Brother Nee's cellmate. He was 8 years with him together in prison. And he testified that Brother Ni, all his years in prison, I'm sure you've heard about this, he was always humming the same song. You know, for 20 years, he was not allowed to read the Bible. He was not allowed to pray. He was not allowed to speak to the saints. He was not allowed to preach the gospel. But he was always humming the tune. And this brother, who is in the church in Anaheim, he said, I did not even know that this is a hymn. He thought, it's just a melody. He was humming the same melody over and over again. Do you know that song? Do you know that song? It's the song, you know, you're like the pretty henna flower. The pretty henna flower. 171. You know, I love singing that hymn because, can you imagine? I mean, you're in prison for 20 years. You have no way to pray. You have no way to read the Bible. You have no way to fellowship. Nothing. I mean, no Christian life outwardly. But inwardly, you're singing hymns of love to the Lord Jesus. He was just full of love to the Lord Jesus. And this brother, he testified, only when he got out of prison and he came into the meetings of the church, he realized that Brother Ni was singing hymns of love to the Lord Jesus 20 years. That's how he maintained his joy. He was able to preserve his joy by loving the Lord Jesus. You know, if you don't have a life of experience and enjoyment of the Lord, I think even if you want to praise the Lord, your praises will be very shallow and they will run out quickly because you have no substance to your praise. Dear saints, always remember that our praise is not just our mood or our happiness. Our praise is based on our knowing the Lord, experiencing the Lord, and enjoyment of the Lord. And this is why our praise equals to sacrifice. We offer sacrifice of praise. To praise the Lord in a difficult situation is not easy. It's not easy. I mean, sometimes when you encounter a difficult situation, we curse. We express our unhappiness. We kick chairs, you know. We kick our dogs or cats. I hope you wouldn't do that. But, you know, but sometimes we're so frustrated, you know. But if you offer praise in this kind of situation, that is a real sacrifice. It goes against all the natural situation. It goes against all the circumstances. Dear saints, always remember Watchman Nee. Always remember humming hymns of love to the Lord Jesus in the midst of 20 years of suffering. I mean, 20 years of suffering, 20 years of imprisonment. I mean, any patience would run out. Any patience. The only thing that would support you is experiencing the Lord and enjoying the Lord. That's why point one says, when we pass through reproach and suffering, we should continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Saints, learn how to praise the Lord in any situation. Even if you experience a very difficult time, just learn how to praise the Lord. Point two says, since in the church life we enjoy the unchanging Christ as grace and follow him outside religion, we should offer through him spiritual sacrifices to God. You know, no matter what the situation is, our God is unchanging. Christ is not shaken. He's unshakable Christ. He is the unchanging Christ. Okay, and how about we read the last two points together? Those are precious verses, you know, to finish this fellowship. Okay? Point C. How about sisters read point C? Okay? I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. How about again with a stronger spirit? Okay? I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Okay, brothers, point D. Jehovah will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, forever and ever. Hallelujah. Okay, point D, let's read all together, okay? Jehovah will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, forever and ever. Hallelujah. You know, no matter what the situation in the world is, no matter what is happening around us, He will reign forever. Amen. His throne is unchangeable forever. Amen. And Zion is forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.